This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
The bottom line is something's up.
Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the founding fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny.
This was in a book for Freemasons. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason.
Broadcasting live from a bunker high atop Mount Hood.
All heading towards a fascist totalitarian state.
It's radio that's delivering the truth.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
See, the problem is they don't get to determine what is right and wrong in the process. It's all done by the central government.
And here's Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is a radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. Welcome aboard. 24/7, 365 cycle. Well, news cycle. It's not like a bicycle. Kind of have to get on it and ride it. But it's one of those super speedo, no, that's a bad visual, a speed cycle. Your legs are pumping away, you're winded, and you're just going nuts because there's just so much news out there. That's what it's like here at Agenda 21 Radio and NewCaliforniaState.com. So NewCaliforniaState.com, you got to definitely visit that website. A lot of things going on. And in fact, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Chris Reed, and you're going to find out more information than you thought you ever knew about what's going on, especially with New California. I think what you're going to find out by the end of this hour is you're going to realize that there's going to be a 51st state pretty soon. You're going to go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Dems party in Puerto Rico. This is from Drudge. Like, we didn't get enough of the Drudge report on Friday, but this, you just can't resist it. Got a picture of Menendez in Puerto Rico with his shirt off, and he's talking to a woman in a bikini with her buttocks showing. Well, I mean, she's got a bottom on, but, you know, there's full cleavage there. It's not a pretty sight. Yeah, it's just really not. So Dems party in Puerto Rico during shutdown. Sun and fun! Exclamation mark. And then, of course, in the wintertime in Washington, it snowed in. And the president's... Well, actually, I guess the president is on the move, from what I understand, during this shutdown. Ah. It says, Chinese court sentences Canadian national to death for drug crimes. Wouldn't want to be him. Would not want to be him. Interesting other little article. Paper, stop obsessing over Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health. Okay, just because it's in Drudge, we'll do that. Don't obsess over it. We don't want to obsess over the possibility of that woman dying. That's just not right. Imagine people obsessing over your death, or you know what I mean? It's just not right. So just chill out. Relax. Go to Puerto Rico. Join your Democratic friends. Right? You too can hang out with these bikini-clad, well, middle to older age women if you're a senator. Okay, Chinese trade surplus with the United States hits record $323 billion. I think we'll get more on that a little bit later on in this hour from Chris Street. And by the way, we are, yes, enjoying Agenda 21 Radio Coffee. Somebody said to me over the weekend, you do a great job selling Agenda 21 Radio Coffee. Well, thank you very much. Because it's good. And listen, that's how really good it is. It is really good. It is really good. So as a monster snowstorm blankets half of the United States, the Democrats are out partying in Puerto Rico, the 52nd state. 52nd state. Big story, though. This is one of the big ones. This is why I went to Drudge, because I think we got it up there on an Agenda 21 Radio. Yes, we did. Russian investigation could spark battle to learn Robert Mueller's findings. Now, this is kind of an interesting story in that if you want to neutralize Mueller, because remember, Mueller is part of the executive branch, technically. He's part of the president's purview, his responsibility. Imagine that. The guy who's designing your own death, you're helping fund him. Carry on. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be drinking coffee in front of you, but I am. But this is a very, very interesting article, and I think that it might end the Mueller-Trump derangement syndrome business going on. The article, who is this article by? Oh, MSN. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's a Tribune News Service, though. Well, another Los Angeles Times article. Wow. Okay, so, all right, wait, time out. Where is this? I want to check my sources. So this is a Los Angeles Times article that has been third-party down to me now, okay? And I'm going to give you some excerpts from it. It says here, only a few blocks from the National Mall, amid a cluster of nondescript buildings, more than a dozen prosecutors working for special counsel Robert S. Mueller III have followed an unusual routine as they toil away on the Russian investigation. When they leave the law office at night, they often wonder if it could be their last day on the job, according to an attorney familiar with their work, fearful that President Donald Trump will try to shut down the sprawling criminal investigation. They've been compiling and writing their conclusions as they go, the attorney said. Even if Trump doesn't try to fire Mueller and disband his team, something he's threatened several times, the president's lawyers have indicated, listen to this, they'll try to keep the public from learning whatever the special counsel's office has discovered. They've repeatedly said some information may be covered by executive privilege, the legal claim that safeguards the confidentiality of a president's private conversations. Claiming confidentiality by the president. If Mueller tries to include in a final report details gleaned from Washington White House documents or interviews with administration officials, we specifically reserved our right to object, said Rudy Giuliani, the former New York City mayor who represents Trump. The president pointedly refused on Thursday to say whether any report from Mueller should be made public, telling reporters, we'll have to see. It's unclear when Mueller's investigation will end, and the special counsel still has not secured the presidential interview he's been seeking for more than a year. Trump submitted some written answers shortly before Thanksgiving, and Giuliani said prosecutors' subsequent request to ask more questions in writing and in person was refused before Christmas. Since then, he said, there's been no communication with the special counsel's office. There's nothing much to talk about to them, says Giuliani. Recently, however, there have been indications the end game could be drawing near. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, for example, has told Associate he expects to step down shortly after the Senate confirms William P. Barr as the new Attorney General. Just look for the president to say, oh, I'm sorry. These are privileged documents. And the White House is going to claim it. Maybe there's not going to be any report after all. Executive privilege, anyone? And then, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be an investigation of the investigation by a whole new team of Trump people in the, Attorney General's office. I hate it when this happens. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715. We have used the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
We're going to get into a story a little bit later on, and this is... This is in regards to the young lady, Natalie Coleman, who was gunned down, assassination style, in Davis, California, right there where UC Davis is, of course, the other Berkeley, by the way. UC Davis, a little history lesson for you. UC Davis is part of the University of California system, of course, and headed by Janet Napolitano. There's a name. There's a blast from the past, right? Who, by the way, it's interesting how these things go. She was the head of Homeland Security, and she's the one who said that all white men or white nationalists or constitutionalists are evil people, basically, and had us put on some sort of watch list. You know what I mean? You know, because I'm a white man, by the way. I was evil, in her opinion. That, and I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit, but it's kind of fun to do that since, you know, just if you're thinking about being a constitutional person and living and breathing the Constitution, because you think that, you know, the Constitution is important, I have no idea why we would think the Constitution is important, right? No. It's only our Constitution for our country, but I wouldn't understand why she would say that it's not important to me, but... Or you, or anybody else. Excuse me, more coffee. It's right here in front of my face. You know, and I normally take it and I move it someplace else, but not today, because it just smells so good. So anyway, remember, she was the one, anybody that moved or looked funny, other than if you were ISIS or any terror group like that, you know, you're good to go. You're good in the hood. If you want to come across as an OTM from the Mexican border, hey, you're welcome to the jungle, she would say. And of course, then she goes on and she was the person who was the governor of Arizona. And during her time in governor of Arizona, she set up the whole thing about Common Core. You might not remember this. I do. I was an administrator at the time and thinking this woman's a nutcase. Well, she was, and of course, it came to fruition. Common Core through the justice or through the education department with Obama. Remember that? And that crazy, stupid guy they had for Secretary of Education. I have a picture of him, Arnie Duncan, with me. He and I together in Washington D.C. at the Gaylord Hotel. What the guy? You talk about a guy as dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, seriously. Was your education secretary Arnie Duncan? He was stupid, a stupid man. I mean, he came in. We had a meeting with him. There's about 20 of us at this table, huge table round, and he started to speak. And we recognized right away he had no idea about curriculum standards or anything like that, national or international or whatever. He was just a dumb man. He got up and left, and we all sat there. Now, at the table are long-time educators, you know, from kindergarten, elementary, to secondary, to college, you know, educator and administrators like myself. And he got up, and it was just sheer silence at the table. Because, you know, here we are. We're specialists. We're kind of highfalutin people in education. And we're just sitting around looking at one another, and I said to everybody, I said, nah. I said, well, this is my imagination, or was that just a bad display? And somebody spoke up, and they said, he doesn't know anything about education. And the shots just came, and we were stunned. I'm sitting there thinking, well, so much for Arnie Duncan. You know, that was the president's right-hand man who was enforcing Common Core. So I shouldn't be digressing off of that, but I just thought I would. But you get into the Janet Napolitano thing, and it really starts to get dicey. Because Janet Napolitano, who heads the UC system, and I know we're talking about Davis. Davis, California, University of California, Davis, used to be Berkeley Farms. Yes, it was Berkeley, part of Berkeley. It's an extension of Berkeley, and ultimately became its own university. So that's UC Davis. I know a lot of people at UC Davis, staff members and so on, and I love them to death, love them to death. But, you know, you got some issues with Janet Napolitano. And I say that because just recently you may have heard there was a guy who was a deserter from the Air Force found under her employment. In fact, he was the guy handling the money for the UC system. He was a deserter from the Air Force, and his name was Howard Hughes. No. Well, We tracked him down. Apparently, he is related to Howard Hughes, but he's not Howard Hughes. No, 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 not that guy. But he was an Air Force captain in 1983. He deserted from the Air Force. This is real. This guy is now sitting in the brig at Travis Air Force Base here in Northern California because they found him working for her about, I don't know, 7 or 8 months ago. And he was the finance guy for the UC system for her. What? Yeah, that's right. And, oh, by the way, what did he do? What was his big specialty in the Air Force? What was his big specialty? His big specialty as a captain in the Air Force was understanding how you detonate missiles in midair. You know, like, if you think if the missile's going awry, well, he was the specialist in the country in that. And he suddenly deserts, takes off, and he's gone from 1983 until 2018 as a deserter. And they finally track him down. Now, it's kind of interesting because when you go through the LA Times and you look at the list of things that he's responsible for, they suspect that he was actually sabotaging missile launches. And one of the missile launches they say he sabotaged was the Challenger. Remember that in 1987? They say he helped to sabotage that. January 27th, 1986 or 7. I'll never forget that day. Nor will my students in my classrooms. Who, by the way, many of their parents actually worked on the space shuttle that blew up. They worked out of Edwards Air Force Base. I'll never forget that. But, you know, there was and we had a teacher there whose husband worked for Morton Thiokol. And they swore that never could have happened, but they're talking about the solid booster rockets, just too much cold and not the thing not sealing up properly. They thought it was detonated, and it turns out this guy apparently is the guy who detonated the Challenger, working for Janet Napolitano. Now, you know, birds of a feather, they flock together, right? What could possibly be going wrong at the UC system in California with Janet Napolitano there? Let's ask Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff. Oh, I know. Ask Adam Schiff's friend, Ed Buck. You know, who's got this fetish for black men. He likes to hook on meth. Watch him get high on methamphetamine. Oh, and sometimes they die in his house, you know. But then Jerry Brown comes to the rescue, right? It's a bailout for Jerry Brown. Isn't that interesting? I just throw this stuff out there because, you know, you kind of get a little tired of some of this stuff. And we certainly want to know what's going on in the case of the young lady who was murdered in at Davis, California, by UC Davis. Ambush style, by the way. And now we have a person of interest. Well, the victim's shooter. Well, he killed himself, and we now know his identity. We're going to talk about that. Limbaugh is his last name. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Coming up, Chris Street.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA. Agenda.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-362-3023 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-362-3023 to take your call now. Call 800-362-3023. That's 800-362-3023. Again, 800-362-3023. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-319-2547 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-319-2547. Again, that's 800-319-2547.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and definitely visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com. We have a convention coming up here January 26th. Get your tickets. If you're a guest, you can get your tickets. So please go there right now. And well, first of all, you got to listen to what we're doing right now with Chris Street. Chris, welcome back home to Agenda 21 Radio. And there's a shortfall in cash, from what I understand, for the state of California.
Well, that's right, Paul. The state of California not only has the problem that it looks like PG&E is about to file bankruptcy, but the state of California also has the challenge that their supposed surplus is evaporating very rapidly. And the biggest issue here is that the personal income taxes for the state of California were down $3.45 billion, not millions, but billions, for the month of December. Now, you know, Jerry Brown claimed he had an $8 billion surplus. Well, just about half of that went away. Matter of fact, when you look at all of the receipts for the state of California, it's actually down by about $4.5 billion for the month. So I would call this $4.85 billion. I would call this a rather big headache.
Well, I would say so. Now, if this turns out to be correct, do you expect any of those What's it going to look like for January and February? You think it's going to decline even more?
Well, you never know, Paul. And that's what's fun about government. You know, it's sort of like weapons of mass destruction. They have such leveraged revenues that, you know, when things change internally, they tend to change big. And it's once you get off of budget, it's very hard to get back on. It's not like a regular business where, you know, we had a bad month, you know, shipments didn't make it out the door, or, you know, materials didn't arrive for production, that kind of thing. That's not the way government works. Government works sort of as they open the mail. You know, they get tax payments every month, and they literally open the mail. And in the mail, you have what are called quarterly progress payments, you know, for people who file quarterly returns, higher income people and such like that. They have to file quarterly. So that's, you know, that could be a huge drop in capital gains taxes, which I've warned for quite a while. You know, you had sort of a smash in Silicon Valley here lately. So all of this doesn't look good, and it doesn't look like they're going to get back on track very soon.
Well, now that's going to become very, very problematic. I mean, if you think that if you lose $4.5 billion in, you know, total.
Do that again, Paul. Bubba.
Bubba. I was going to say billion, but billion dollars. And just December alone, what's it going to look like, of course, now getting into January and February and March? Because we don't see any kind of uptick, at least for these revenue-generating industries like in Silicon Valley, just on the surface of it.
As I said, Paul, you know, my scenario is, and I wasn't interested in getting involved in New California until September because, you know, you couldn't see how California was going to go into crisis until the crisis started to show. And in September, I could see this starting to go off the rails. You know, the train's going around the track a little fast. It's starting a little tippy here, a little tippy there. You know, tippy is not good when it's a really big train, right?
That's right.
Okay, so the tippy, you know, I figured they make a couple more turns, and I said that it would all become visible in March. Well, you know, this is December and January and December, it started to become more visible internally. These are internal numbers that, of course, all of the, you know, dingbats that are on the media, you know, they like to read press releases. And, you know, when you're talking to Gavin Newsom, that's probably the extent of his capability is reading press releases. Now, Jerry Brown was a different kind of guy, but Jerry Brown might manage to, you know, that song, you got to get out the back, Jack, you got to make a new plan stand. No, Jerry Brown was, you got to not be there, Jer, and get yourself free.
Yeah.
Because if this is a crisis, Jerry Brown artfully managed to dodge it.
Well, the thing is that he's not out of the woods entirely because he hasn't distanced himself from the crisis enough. Now, what I mean by that is that the money that was supposed to come from the federal government as relief for, say, the Camp Fire and the Car Fire, that's not coming because the president has held that up. That's about $10 billion.
I was the first person to report that $9 billion right. is now hung up from Jerry Brown. People are talking about, you know, that somehow Trump is going to hold back these payments to the state of California because, you know, it's the way California manages its, you know, the fires and the rest of it. Specifically, Jerry Brown asked for $9 billion supplemental funding.
Right.
Plus, there's another about $1 billion from the fires. Now, remember, in my report I put on American Thinker, California has fires now 12 months of the year. The way they run the forests have created this 12-month a year burning. There's 9,000 fires a year. So what is worse than fire, though, Paul?
Flooding.
That's right. Right now it's raining, and we're in an El Nino. So if this thing, you know, breaks bad, you know, and the one thing about politics, if you think it might be bad, I guarantee you it'll even be worse.
Oh yeah, and of course this is what we're seeing right now with the year round sort of cycle of fires. Now it's kind of interesting. I pulled up an article from December of last year, and it was about all the fires in Southern California, as you recall, all those fires that were burning around there. And Jerry Brown was saying at that time, this is the new normal. We're going to probably have fires during Christmas and all this other good stuff. Well, we
he was just telling you what had actually been happening for the last 3 years. You've been having fires, you know, 12 months a year because of the way they manage the forest.
And that's exactly the key point that you brought up, and I was going to expand on, is that this is the way the new normal for California is the way they handle the forest, and they don't take out all the debris, all the biomass, and clean out the forest, like, and manage the forest so that you get controlled burns so you won't have these raging fires. And this is something that they've not done because they've needed the cash from that to keep themselves afloat, and they've been skimming that off. In fact, there was a piece of legislation last year that was calling for numerous, millions of dollars to clear the forest, passed both the Assembly and the Senate, believe it or not. Jerry Brown refused to sign it because he needed the money other places.
That's right. That's right. Funny how, you know, Jerry, you got to give the guy credit. He managed to slip out the back, Jack, just in time.
Well, but my point is that the money that's being held up by the federal government is enough to sting him on the way out.
You know, I think, he's gone. He, you know, this will be. And one thing about, you know, you always call him Twosome Newsome. You know, it's as if he's looking both ways. He's looking both ways. Looking both ways. All kind of new and exciting and different. And never had this experience. Jerry Brown's had all those experiences. Newsome is he's a virgin when it comes to crisis. He never really, you know, he was not a tough guy to start with.
Well, and Jerry was, savored creating crises too. You know, that was his big deal. But yeah, Gavin Newsom's in a world of hurt now, as is the state of California. We're not going to have the commercials. I think we're going to continue on with this. I guess it doesn't look real good for the state of California to be such, I guess you would say, in such bind with cash flow.
Oh, details. You know, in government, everybody talks about pension. Pension's something way, way out there. In government, the worst thing you can do is miss payroll. This is payroll, baby.
Well, explain, you know, Chris, a lot of people think government's always going to be there. You know, it's reliable, yada. And this is not the case here in California, especially right now, because these are big numbers. This is what I've been saying to people for a couple of years now. We're going to get to the point in California where we're going to run out of other people's money, and right now we're getting to that point.
December 3rd, 1994.
Right.
Orange County, most Republican county in America, I think a third fastest growing county in the country, and second fastest over the last 10 years. AA rated by Moody's. I put an article in Barron's. It says that they're having a cash crisis and essentially they're going to file bankruptcy. Over the weekend, it becomes a shock. And Monday morning at 9 o'clock, Orange County files bankruptcy, the largest missed bankruptcy in the history of the United States. Today, you're about to have the bankruptcy of PG&E. On Friday, PG&E was downgraded by Moody's.
Yeah.
Moody's, that means, you know, what's a rating if you're not selling bonds? No big deal. Except that all these organizations have commercial paper. The commercial paper has a term, but it also has a requirement that you maintain a certain level of credit quality or the funds are due and payable in 48 hours. That's what happened to Orange County. Orange County, when their problems emerged, the rating agencies downgraded them. It accelerated about $1.7 billion in commercial payments and margin calls. And Monday morning, they were in bankruptcy. Just because California's bigger doesn't mean it's above financial markets. They are playing financial markets to the nth degree. More importantly, they are so large, they put such risk on all these banks that the first bank that pulls their money is better off than the banks that don't pull and get left with the empty bag.
Which we saw
This could be that kind of crisis.
So,
do you think Donald Trump, you know, when the panic call comes from Twosome Newsome, is going to say, oh, well, let's talk to the Fed and we'll get you $30 billion? Ain't never going to happen.
Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
You're not.
Okay, and I hate to laugh about the misery, but the bottom line is this has been going on, Chris, for how many years? Decades of California's abuse of the, you know, and of course, raping the taxpayer in California. I mean, last year we were talking about, you know, Jerry Brown squeezed $27 billion out for illegal foreign nationals in the California budget just to pay for these illegals coming across the border.
Well, you got to be careful on that, Paul, when you say Jerry Brown squeezed out. A lot of that money was because of federal programs, and that's the game that they play. You think they really care about some poor Hispanic guy down in El Salvador eating beans?
No.
No, they get money.
From those people, right?
Every person that comes in here gets Medicaid, and that money's 90% federal dollars. So that person, you know, that little bean eater, you know, that poor person, you know, probably really nice person, that person represents about $5,000 from the federal government the first time they sign him up. $5,000. Is it any wonder why these corporations have figured out, well, they'll get, you know, $15,000 in welfare, they'll get $5,000 in medical, and you add all this stuff up, it sounds like about $25,000, right? $25,040?
Yep.
The housing allowance, the rest of it, schools. I mean, most of this money's coming from the Fed. So, you know, that $27 billion, I doubt that really about $23 billion of that is not federal money. That's the game. You're the sucker out there, audience, because you're not a way to get money. You've got to be illegal to be a source of cash.
So this is the bigger scam, and of course, this is something that we haven't even broached, but we've broached it with the disaster capitalism aspect. But this is the other bigger scam that's out there. Besides, ladies and gentlemen, the trafficking in human flesh and slavery, think about this. These people are brought into this country and then subsidized by federal dollars from California, which is just outrageous.
Well, not if you're a scumbag, multinational corporation. You don't care. You know, you're like locusts. You come and feed something and, you know, burn it all up, and then you move on to the next country.
Interesting.
I mean, in some ways, being cynical like this, you know, is kind. Because it's really more vicious and hateful than that. It's wage breaking. America went from almost 40 years after inflation with middle class families never getting an increase. For the first year, Trump made four quarters in a row, first time in 40 years, first positive, I think, in almost 20, but made four quarters in a row of after inflation net gains for household income. That's the first time we passed 1991 household income. It happened last quarter. Did you see the media jumping up and down and cheering? They don't care about you. You're not a source of cash. There's no corporate value for you. You know, Walmart doesn't advertise for the middle class anymore.
Well,
it's the best media money can buy.
Well, this is, of course, the big game that's going on right now, and Trump is trying to stop it. When you have the entire government, well, not the entire, but portions of the government shut down right now, you've got this battle going on between Republicans and Democrats. It's all about trafficking in human flesh and slavery and money on people's heads. That's really what it comes down to. And we've seen it play out.
And wage-breaking.
And wage-breaking, but we've seen this play out in California in a big way. The big question is now, though, Trump holding up money, and as he should, and now we have tax receipts that are failing because the sector, Silicon Valley in particular, that provides the capital gains receipts for California, is tumbling out of control. We have a middle class that's deserted California, as it should, because of all the higher regulations, fees, and taxes, and so on. Court, you know, judicial system, all that stuff, education system doesn't work well for the middle class. They've fled to other states. The big question is, going forward, what is your time frame for which they're going to run out of other people's money? And the government is going to fall into this scenario that we saw with Arlen Harlan Reynolds at the University of Tennessee, when all of a sudden the governor is going to have to call everybody together to try and dip into retirement systems to keep the government afloat. What's your time frame for that?
Well, in California, that ain't going to happen, is it? They don't have those funds. Now, I've said that, I said this in September, I'm repeating it in December, repeating it in January, that we are on track for people to realize there's a financial crisis somewhere around March. And that's because the third quarterly tax hit, the first 2019 quarterly tax filing, and that by September, we're going to be in a full-blown crisis. I see nothing that's outside of my scenario. I see the numbers are probably net worse than I thought they would be, and they're usually always worse because, people are smart enough to figure out how to get out of the way. A big thing the state of California has is they get credit from their vendors. Can't tell you, but it seems to me maybe their vendors are pulling in on them, not extending as much credit.
Right.
Your best friends that, want you to be extravagant and spend a lot of money. If they're big corporations, they have, financial people like me who, are like a walking Cray computer that crunch numbers. And they figure out these things are going and they say, thank you, but no thank you anymore.
Well, the other thing,
they
too,
walk away.
As, some of our research, and we put out, questionnaires, and we put out questions to people out in different sectors of California. Of course, being in New California, we have access to a lot of sectors, and we started finding out that we just started asking some of the basic questions for people that do business with the state and are supposed to get paid by the state and so on. We're finding now that in some places that the state of California is failing to pay vendors for 5 months in arrears. 5 months in arrears.
And guess what? Some of those vendors may continue to do business, but I guarantee they will shrink the amount of credit they're extending to the state of California.
Right.
Now, I haven't got any documentation on that one yet, Paul. You guys, you guys have your posse out there of chit-chatters that I'm sure they're helping you out. But I can't confirm that. There's nothing published that I can confirm that yet. But that's my suspicion. That suspicion eventually will be confirmed because these corporations have to disclose in their financial statements who's not paying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, once again, that's about 6 months after the fact. So if you're telling me that, they're stretching by 5 months, we're probably going to hear about that sometime March, April, right?
Right. Now, the question that really starts to linger out there again, we'll start to see this accelerate as time goes on when these people start crowding the field that need to get paid and aren't getting paid. That's when the crisis point will start to hit. So this is the scenario that you're looking for September, from the March to September time frame, when real, I think, panic is going to start setting in with a lot of people, and the concern is going to... just taking a look at what we're doing in terms of New California, because we know that what's going to happen is they're going to have to turn to us. We're going to be the only act in town. We get that. But we have a time frame, a window to be operating from that March to that September period in which we have to act, in which we plan to act. There's no hiding that. That's what we're going to be doing.
We're getting together on the 26th.
That's correct, January.
And I think if you are interested in this as a listener, either as a participant or just if you want to watch the greatest, black comedy in history. These are things that it's funny, but it's not funny at all. I mean, this is going to really hurt people. The clown act that will go on in Sacramento, the way they won't understand what's going on, there's real people here are going to get hurt. So, unfortunately... that's the way it works. Unfortunately, you're going to have a crisis, and the clown act in Sacramento will just make it worse. I mean, they always do. But when you robbing the pension plan, I mean, this pension plan already has on the conservative numbers $485 billion. That's 3 years of the entire state budget. Okay. So that's probably not going to happen. In unconservative numbers, the unfunded pension is somewhere around $700 billion. I mean, these are bubbas. So I don't think that anybody's going to trust Tusum Newsom when it comes to September. You know, Jerry Brown, I guarantee you he will, you know, he'll ship blame and leave town.
But oh, yeah.
What's going to be left is, you know, nobody's going to trust California, which means nobody's going to trust those urban areas that suck up all the cash. That's San Francisco, Bay Area, and that's
Los Angeles.
You know, Southern California, and to a lesser degree, it's San Diego. But San Diego is pretty conservative. But it's mostly LA and San Francisco that are, you know, just absolutely crunching through this cash.
Well, and you know, in the scenario for New California, they can have their happy little workers' paradise and suck up all the cash that they would like to on their own.
That's right, and we will relieve them of all that burden.
Absolutely.
You know, on their arithmetic, you know, they're out to defund the rural areas because they don't vote for them. So if they can defund and bankrupt people in the rural areas, it'll force them into the cities. Once they're in the cities, they can, you know, cancel out their vote. But, you know, the real game will be that nobody's going to trust the urban areas. And, you know, the rural areas have an economy they can create and recreate simply by going back to, say, the way it was in the 1950s. You know, California ruled the world in infrastructure growth and quality of life in the 50s and 60s. How do we get off track?
Well, we changed and modified the Constitution to what it is now, really a worthless document that's overtaxing. It's a socialist document. It's a centralized, highly centralized government now that we have, in which the people have zero representation.
Well, corporations believe that's the way it should be. You should be there so they can transfer wealth from you. That's a good business.
Well, not a real good business model, but that's what
I'm
they
just
follow.
Saying, multinational corporations. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they went to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton. You know, schools I'm very familiar with, Harvard Law, and you know, there's a game you can play to basically get the money. You know, you can get the money administratively. That's a lot better than actually having to make products, you know, and, you know,
that's right.
Make your own steel and, you know, build your own cars and such like that. You can outsource all of this and get the cash. I mean, what a great game. What a great arbitrage game. You know, this is the anniversary of the destruction of TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yep.
You know, we are in 2017 when Trump came in. One of his first actions he took was dumping TPP. Now, I believe the Trans-Pacific Partnership, this trading structure that would have, you know, encompassed about, you know, 800 million people and a big portion of the GDP of the world. Excuse me, 4.6 billion people would have taken up about 50% of the world's economy, you know, would have outsourced all legal recourse for individuals in America.
Right.
You know, a sort of corporate-led court, you know, a regional court.
Well, it would have destroyed the Constitution. But, Chris, we got to run for time right now. So it would have destroyed the Constitution, which, of course, in New California, we're going to revive that. Chris, tell us how we can get a hold of you.
My articles are on American Thinker every day. I've got one on right now. You know, check out how Trump's Middle East policy was $23 billion in U.S. arms sales. Take boots off the ground and sell them the weapons of war. It's their business, not ours.
That's right. Anyway, Chris, thanks a lot. We'll be seeing you, of course, at the convention on the 26th.
See you then.
Awesome. Okay, well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Information from Chris Street. It's big. It's real big. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, 821R.com and NewCaliforniaState.com. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.